coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman coming to you live, coming to you from my office with a good friend, just a tremendous asset in the information and truth movement, Standale.com. That's his website. Have a great show lined up for you today. I'm telling you what, it is Tuesday, October 17th, 2023, in the year of our Lord. I told you I was going to say that, just like Steve Bannon does. But I have a lot of things to talk about, including and especially what's going on in the Middle East. And if you remember, folks, Stan was like one of the first people that we interviewed and was on our show that was talking about the troubles in the Middle East, Israel, Damascus, and here we are. All right. So from a biblical perspective, prophetic perspective, Stan's going to be talking about this. And I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. Before I get to Stan, you know, I want to ask you something. Do you want to take control of your financial future, but you just don't know where to start? Now, a lot of people are like that. A lot of people have that situation. They just don't know exactly where to start, like for an IRA type thing. You know what I'm talking about, right? All right. Well, I've got two words for you. Noble gold. Noble gold. Actually, one link. That's HagmanReportGold.com. It's in the program description box right down there. Noble Gold Investments understands that we're in some rocky territory. Investing in precious metals may sound confusing, but the team at Noble Gold Investments makes it so easy. My stepson Josh and I did this together prior to the sponsorship of Noble Gold. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're listening or watching this right now, please do this. Please, if you've got your IRA money or money anywhere, you'll have an IRA, you want to get one. This is the best place I've found. Okay, this is my personal experience, and you know I don't offer anything to you that I personally don't like or use myself. But people have been commenting. You know, let's hear from actual Noble Gold Investment customers, for example. The staff answered all of my questions and helped me every step of the way. That's one. No pressure sales tactics, just honest guidance. That's two. So, folks, don't settle for financial uncertainty. Noble Gold is the answer. They'll suggest options and see if you can diversify into gold and silver. Now, right now, and this is cool. Right now, Noble Gold Investments is offering a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful bullion coin for qualified accounts. I'm going to tell you something. It's just a gorgeous coin. It's kind of like a hockey puck almost, but it's silver and it's just gorgeous. But don't settle for financial uncertainty. Noble Gold Investments has an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau and countless, you can't count them, 5-star reviews. So why wait? Go to Noble Gold Investments. Go to my specific URL. That's Hagman Report Gold. Remember, it's down there. Or if you want to call them, you can call them. They'll take your call. 877-646-5347. Noble Gold is who I trust. Now, I have to tell you this, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind. So I want to thank them for sponsoring the program. And okay, while I'm at it, you know, Stan and I were talking before the program, EMP Shield, EMPShield.com. If you go to Hagman Report or HagmanPI.com, just do this. Go to HagmanPI.com, click on the EMP Shield link there, and make sure you've got an EMP shield for what is coming. In fact, buy a bunch. One for your house, one for your generator, your car, your boat, your neighbor. Christmas is coming faster than you can imagine. Great Christmas gift. That's empshield.com/Hagman. Use Hagman in the promo code for $50 off. All right. With me is Stan Dale, standale.com. Stan, how are you, sir?
Well, pretty good, actually.
Good.
We've been looking for this time for a long time, and now that we're in it, it's happening so fast, I can't believe it.
With what happened in Israel, how did they miss that? Do you think, like I kind of think, that they, I don't want to say purposely missed it, but I'm going to say it, purposely not allowed it to happen, but maybe permitted the incursion, not really realizing the severity that would cause. Is that possible? I mean,
I suppose it's possible. I did visit that thought too, but I also visited the thought that the opposition party to Netanyahu want him, you know, out of office, and that this might have been, you know, a delay on their part to, you know, say, look, we got to get rid of him. He's led us into this and that kind of stuff. I don't know. But it doesn't seem logical. I mean, everybody on the planet is saying, well, how did you miss this?
Right.
You know, the best intelligence agency on the planet, how did you miss this? And, you know, Egypt's, you said they told us and they warned Israel. I don't know. Look, it's they'll have to answer whoever ignored it for what they did to the good Lord. But that's about it.
To me, it really boggles my mind that this could happen in such a manner, in the way it did happen. But you know what? Regardless, here we are. I think we're seeing prophecy come alive. The other day I was talking about this, and it's really got me looking at my Bible. You know, I mean, it's I'm reading passages. I'm waiting for Damascus to become uninhabitable. So I don't want. You just tell me what you think and what you know and what you've researched and
okay.
You know, let's just rock.
Let me address your first comment there about you think we're heading for World War III.
Okay.
I doubt that at the moment. That's probably going to be the Armageddon crisis toward the end, but we are going to have wars and rumors of wars before the big war.
Okay.
And your announcement here earlier in the program about get an EMP shield is well said, because Iran, who's behind all this, Iran has always stated since the time of General Qasem Soleimani, who's now dead, of course, that Israel is little Satan and big Satan is America. And they have vowed to take down both of us. Now, I don't know how they managed to get the communists to infiltrate our country and you know, support what they want. But there are hundreds of thousands, if not more, terrorists, potential terrorists in this country. We've run up through the southern border. Now, the Hopi that Holly and I were invited to go down and visit with, they told us there was going to be an invasion of the United States by Russia, China, and a Middle Eastern nation. They didn't name Iran, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Right.
Because of this, we're going to see nuclear detonations over major cities and perhaps, you know, military targets as well, especially, I guess. Now, I can't stress it more. We need to have people who've got power supplies like generators and like a solar and wind to protect their equipment and in their house and in their power generation to share with their neighbors, because when they hit our power grids with an EMP pulse or multiple pulses, we're not going to have electricity normally. So we need to act as a community and get these shields to protect computers, phones, communication, shortwave radio antennas, that kind of stuff. We need to protect that because we're going to get attacked and we're going to get hurt. And to be able to regroup and get survivors together, we're going to need communications, and that needs power. And we need food and water. That requires power to pump wells and things like that. So I can't stress more, if you haven't gotten your EMP shield yet, at least for your wells and your house power and stuff like it, do it. We're running out of time. At any tick of the clock, they could strike us. Anyway, sorry, that's a commercial, I guess, but no, really.
I, I, I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, it protect, obviously, folks, the EMP shield protects your equipment. It's not going to keep things online when everything is down, but when everything comes back up, your equipment, your lights, your, and it's also going to protect your house from, catching fire, as well. So, regardless, I am a true believer in that. And I thank you for manufacturing that. I really do. It's given me peace of mind. And I know a lot of people, all of my friends, both of them, I'm kidding, have them. And, it makes a difference. It's kind of like having a standby generator. It makes a difference. So folks, visit empshield.com. Use coupon code Hagman. That's a commercial. That's a plug. Go ahead, sir.
Well, also, you mentioned fire, to prevent fire in your wall at your power box there, at your breaker box. Yeah. Your neighbors obviously are not going to do this, well, unless they've got an EMP shield to protect them. But because fire may start outside your house or around your neighborhood that are close to you, get fire extinguishers. Holly and I bought 12 of them in a bulk deal and placed them, you know, in various places around the house and stuff so that we can grab one and run, put out a fire at a neighbor's place or in a front yard or wherever. You know, even the water won't be pumping if the power goes out. But Yeah, fire is something people don't think about. But just because you protected your house doesn't mean your neighbors have. I mean, we even went to the trouble of storing, you know, 7,500 gallons of water and buying a firefighter pump and hoses, and we've tested them all so that we can put out fires around us, the houses around us, for maybe 30 to 45 minutes before we run out of water. But anyway, we're going to get hit. People that don't realize this are going to be really surprised and suffer a lot, I'm afraid. But anyway, yeah, we are. You mentioned that I had talked about Damascus, you know, probably, what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, something like that, because I've been watching the Middle East. I'm one of those crazy people that think that the Antichrist, you know, the first and second beast of Revelation 12 and 13, that the Antichrist will probably, one of them will be from the Middle East. And the reason I say that is because in Daniel, where he relates the dream that he interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar, and there was an image of a man, you know, various stages, metals and things, showing the ages of where things would happen. Well, the last part of it is that statue has two legs of iron, and on each foot of the leg, there are five toes. Now, the two legs of iron represent the east and west legs of the revived Roman Empire. So that includes Europe and the Middle East. So we could have an Antichrist from either one and a false prophet, the second beast, from either one. I've looked at King Charles. Certainly he has a lot of the markings of someone that might fit one of those roles. Mohammed bin Salman, Prince of Saudi Arabia, certainly may fit one of those roles. And even young Jared Kushner, you know, President Trump's son-in-law, he may fit one of those roles, because he's allied with Mohammed bin Salman. They're together financing a number of issues to get the Abraham Accords signed. And, you know, there was a lecture or an interview with Jared Kushner. I'm just going to see if I've got that. Okay, it's a YouTube link. I'm going to, do you have a chat thing going there that I can send you a link to?
Well, we can, I suppose. This is low tech.
Well, hold on.
By the way, Eric the Tech will be back tomorrow, and we do have some great in-studio interviews scheduled. Okay.
Right. I'm going to put it in the chat thing here.
Okay.
And this is the link to Jared Kushner link interview. It might be 2 to 3 hours, right? So do it in pieces. But this lets you look into the mind of this young fellow. He's very bright, and of course he's Jewish, but him allied with Mohammed bin Salman, the Prince of Saudi Arabia, they are a formidable pack. You know, Mohammed bin Salman's given $1 billion over to Jared Kushner's investment fund, $1 billion. So the two of them are really close. So go see that interview and read the, I think they have a place where you can read the transcript of it too, if you look online, so you don't have to listen to everything. But, gosh, when I saw that, I just said, man, I've been right all along. Watch Kushner, watch Mohammed bin Salman. Now, other candidates I've put on my show images pages, I've talked to you about that many times, but if you go to standale.com, upper right-hand corner, you'll see a microphone, and then you'll see the words show images. Click on that, and when you get over to that page, go to slide number 13, where I have analyzed a number of possible antichrists, a number of possible false prophets in there. Mohammed bin Salman and Jared Kushner are among the top three that I put there, but there are others, including General Qasem Soleimani, who's dead, right? And we know the Antichrist is going to appear to rise from the dead. Can we do it with AI and with supercomputers generating false images and voice for Qasem Soleimani? I mean, if he were to appear to be alive now, boy, would that rally the Arab states and the Muslim states. They'd go crazy. But by the way, can you see me when I'm, am I switched to the right thing so you can see me talking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, okay. I wasn't sure. Now, the, well, because when I switch to speaker view, it shows you, not me.
Yeah. There's, look, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll tell you what, I put us both on the screen. But I could see you fine for some reason.
Okay.
That happens. But yeah, go ahead. Continue.
Okay, well, okay. Because when I wave my hands, I mean, you've got to see them, you see. That's a Jewish way to explain things. Yeah. You know, for years, since, 1969, 70, somewhere back there, that's what, a long time ago, nearly 50 years, they've been trying to get Israel to give up land for peace with the Palestinians. Now, Palestine is not a country. It's a group of people, and they are made up of people from all over the world, different nationalities. They have never made them a country. The United Nations has never recognized them as a nation.
That's right.
So they're a small people. Now, right. Daniel the prophet said the Antichrist, you know, the dictator of this age, the third Antichrist, whatever, he is going to be from a small, use a small people to take control of the planet. Now, a small people is not a nation. It's a small group of people. Mohammed bin Salman is using the Palestinian issue to get peace with Israel, quote unquote peace. So of the 40 some odd major Arab nations, around the Middle East, around Israel, he's the controller of them. He's formed an Arabic union of these nations, and he's the elephant in the room over there. So what he says goes as far as the other nations, even Iran at this moment, because he signed a new agreement with them to be at peace with them after being, at odds with them over their branch of Islam versus his and the rest of his union. When he says he wants to make peace with Israel, he, in an interview with Fox News here 2-3 weeks ago, he stated that he won't release the details of it, but he is negotiating a peace deal. Then suddenly, the Palestinians erupt and invade and that kind of stuff for whatever reason. He allows that to happen. Now, he may try to join with Iran and other Arab nations right now. He may try to default on his alleged attempt to make a peace deal with Israel, and he may attack Israel with ground troops and air and whatever else. If he does, it'll be a big mistake. In fact, it's a big mistake for anybody that is going to try to attack and harm Israel. Even though Israel may not be right and everything, and may not be doing the right thing as far as God is concerned, if you step on God's favorite people, he's going to step on you. You're going to hurt. Now, look at what the leadership of Israel has to deal with. They've got the Palestinians that have undermined their borders there with long tunnels, miles and miles of tunnels. They have got weapons from the United States, from China, from Iran. They found them with our labels on them. And, then they've got the northern border of Israel at Lebanon, where the Hezbollah, which is another Iranian proxy, where they're now putting missiles across and actually having encounters with Israeli troops on the northern border. So they've got two fronts already. And then Syria says, we're coming after you too. Now, Syria was warned by other countries, don't do this. It's not a wise move, but they did it anyway. They've started to openly get into position to attack Israel through the Golan Heights. What this is going to do is it's going to make Israel desperate. They're going to have to do something very exotic to scare the nations away. They don't have enough manpower to fight on three fronts. It just physically they can't do it. So I suspect we know from various publications in the world that monitors nations and how many nuclear weapons they got, that Israel has between 300 and 900 nuclear bombs, missiles. Okay. Now, as I said, when they're forced into a corner, when it's do something or die, they're probably going to launch a nuke, and they're going to launch it in the place where they would hurt their enemy the most. Now, you would think that would be Iran, but Iran is using Syria by proxy in Damascus to right. store its missiles and arms and stuff that it gives to Hezbollah and to Hamas. So striking their storage depot and their military logistics people in Syria at Damascus would be the logical point. Now, Israel has tested a number of missile delivery systems for nukes. I think Jericho number 3, that missile, is the current modern version of what they're going to use to launch. Now, it can carry up to a megaton nuclear warhead. Now, they're going to strike Damascus, and they're going to burn it to the ground. Why do I say they're going to do it? Because even though Damascus sits on a volcanic plain where there are a number of heaps, ruinous heaps, they call them, of like failed volcanoes where they've pushed up magma and it's cooled into blocks of black stuff. If God were to use this to erupt right under Damascus and destroy it, there would be some people, religious people, say, oh, yeah, well, that's God's will. But that's not going to stop the majority of the terrorist attacks in other countries from wanting to attack Israel. There, a lot of them won't even recognize it as an act of God. They'll just say, well, okay, Israelis were probably behind this, so let's go for Israel. It makes more sense for Israel to scare the life out of all of those countries that want to attack them, that are trying to right now, when they see that Israel has the bomb and they don't know where it is or how they're going to deliver it. They're going to be frightened because nobody wants a nuclear explosion on their home turf. Well, Israel's desperate, so I can see why they would take out Damascus, which is a perfect way to stop a lot of the delivery of the weapons right now, but also to make a statement to the rest of to Iran and the rest of the Arab nations that want them down. Don't step on us. Don't tread on us, because we're going to fight back. And they will. They have to. Now, I looked at that, over the years, over the 50 years of some odd negotiation, Israel, let me see if I've even got that here, Land for Peace. Let me just see what I've got a list of here.
Well, it's astounding to me that any accord, any agreement that has been made with by Israel. I mean, people forget or don't know. I mean, Israel has ceded land. Just look at 2005, when some 6 or 9,000 families were physically removed from Gaza. Okay,
Jewish families,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it's with Israel and with the Jews. I mean, to me, they have been more than accommodating to the Arabs and the Palestinians. That's just my view. But I think history would prove me correct. And it's difficult for me to comprehend why people cannot understand why they're due. Israel is due, D-U-E, the land, or, why... Why don't people understand that God title deeded the land to the Jewish people? I mean, Stan, what is it? Why so much anti-Semitism? Why so much pro-Palestine Palestinian sentiment. Why is that?
Well, Palestinians are just a tool being used by the Arab nations, which are the descendants of Ishmael, which was the son of Abraham through Hagar, the Egyptian concubine, or his wife's handmaiden.
Right.
Now, Ishmael, developed the Arab nations. And when you look at the deed of property in the Middle East, these people go back to the very beginning, Ishmael and Israel, which was, from Abraham as well.
Right.
And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob's son. Okay. Jacob and Esau were the sons of Isaac and what was it, Rebekah? Is that right? Anyway, yeah. Right. So anyway, Jacob and Esau, they had title deed. Okay, here's the deal. Esau was the brother of Jacob, and Esau was a man of the field. You know, he was a hairy fellow with red skin on, they say sometimes. And he was a man's man, like a cowboy out there with the sheep, the goats, whatever. He was out there, outdoor. Whereas Jacob was an intellectual. And they were twins. Jacob and Esau were twins. The first one out of the womb was Esau. So technically, Esau was supposed to have Abraham's inheritance, the land that God promised Abraham and his descendants. Well, Esau was out in the field, way out there, several days travel away. And Jacob was old and getting, blind, feeble. And so his wife, one of his four wives, the mother of Jacob, came to him and said, look, it's time for you to make a blessing, to pass your inheritance over in case you die before Esau gets back. And so he said, yeah, I agree. And so she went off and she got some goat hair stuff and tied it onto Jacob's arms. And so that if Jacob, sorry, onto, onto Jacob's arms, so that if he came before his father who couldn't see, if he ran his hands over his skin, he would feel hairy skin like Esau and think it was Esau. Uh-huh. And she also prepared a special stew that only Esau would make for his father and gave it to Jacob to give to his father so that, his father would smell and taste the stew and realize that even though he couldn't see him, that this was his son Esau. So he passed the blessing, his inheritance, on to Jacob by accident because they kind of fooled him. Now, there are two schools of thought saying that, Jacob's mother, she realized that the passage of his land and properties had to be done before he died. And should he die before Esau came back, that they'd be adrift and there would be war in the camp. And the other one is that she just said, no, my son Jacob needs to be the inheritor, and so she initiated this deception. So the Arabs today go back to that time and say, look, Jacob, the house of Jacob, the 12 sons, they said, they stole our inheritance. And you can see, why they would say that. But there are two sides to that story, as I mentioned. So this has carried through for thousands of years to now. And the terrorists and stuff, using this as a fuel for their fire, have enraged the Arab nations. Okay, let's go take it back. And that's just kind of not the way to do it. But anyway, that's the underlying root cause to all of this going back so far.
I appreciate that explanation. But even if we go move forward, ahead of the, or behind that, I mean, the first temple built by Solomon, 957 BC. I mean, to me, when I was looking and researching the history of that area, there was always a Jewish presence there. Yeah. And there was never a Palestine, so to speak, that I could find. Now, obviously, you could find National Geographics with Palestine, on a map, but that was never officially recognized as Palestine, was it? I mean.
No, not as a country. No.
Okay. Thank you.
The British after World War II, they repartitioned, they divided the Middle East, and they didn't do it by which tribe or owned this land. They just cut through some people's property and put a line, said, okay, you're now over in this sheikh's property. And they did this on purpose. It was to cause division amongst the Arabs so that they couldn't unite into a formal force, act against Christianity or whatever. It's a well-known British tactic in foreign diplomacy and foreign policy. But remember this, in the time of Jacob and Esau, as they got older, there was a time when Jacob and Esau met and their families met and shook hands and agreed to peace between them back then. So we have to remember that Esau accepted the situation like it was. His brother Jacob was a better administrator in handling of the properties and things. And so that should apply to now, saying, okay, you Arabic people, don't be holding a grudge because your great ancestor Esau said to Jacob, let's be at peace. I understand what happened, and you're a better man for the job. Which history has proven, the Jewish nation has, the people, they're a wonderful, intelligent people, and have contributed many things to humanity that are helpful in medicine and physics, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, this is what we're fighting, is an old war, which has technically been solved a long time ago, but they're ignoring that. Now, Palestine has a number of people from various countries. They are not a country. They're just like a refugee camp. That's all it is. And nobody wants them. The other Middle East Arab nations, they don't want them because they're an unruly, crowd. They don't really have a common, destiny. Let me just stop that there. Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah.
We're seeing that now. No one wants to take refugees, or what they call refugees, at all. Egypt, no. Qatar.
Oh, well, America's doing it. Look, we have 190 nations represented here now.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I know that. The Republican House or the Republican Congress had, I'm trying to think of the act. It was, they introduced legislation to avoid taking anyone from Gaza into the United States, but too little, too late. We already have tens of thousands, not necessarily because of the current events, but because of past failures of our, or the past successes of the globalist agenda. So there we have it. Go ahead, sir. I don't want to.
Well, that's all right. Israel, since 1969, they have bent over backwards to appease the Gaza inhabitants, the Palestinians people. Every time Israel has agreed to give a little bit of land to them in return for, peace between Gaza Strip people and Israel, they've never gotten their side of the bargain. And I'm talking about maybe 25 different times where they've offered and given land to the Palestinians in Israel in return for peace with these people, and they have reneged on every contract. They are not trustworthy. And so Israel cannot be accused of occupying and destroying the Palestinians. I mean, as you mentioned before, Israel moved out a lot of its settlers out of the Gaza Strip and said, okay, you can have your own land there. Don't fight us. And they just never honored that. So they're not an honorable people. They're not a nation. And they are going to be the pawn that Mohammed bin Salman, I'm pretty sure it's him, will use to gain control of the Middle Eastern Arab nations and make a deal with Israel, a peace deal under the Kushner and Trump Abraham Accords agreement, which is already in place for a number of the nations there. So this is all still pointing to MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, and with the advice of Jared Kushner. Kushner, by the way, his family name is really Berkowitz. He comes from a and they, if you trace Berkowitz back, I can actually trace him back into the Middle East through Iran. In Iran, Kushner was a name they adopted for a furrier, you know, to make clothing and stuff out of furs, you know, animal furs and hides. Now, there was a lot of desert between Iran and northern Israel where the tribe of Dan was. And although I can't prove it, I suspect that Jared Kushner's family are from the tribe of Dan. And if you remember the scripture, that young whelp like a lion leaps out of Dan to become the Antichrist. So, you know,
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. The good Lord has certainly gifted me with discoveries on a number of issues that seem to have, panned out, especially like with the Garden of Eden and Atlantis being where the fallen ones crossbred with the sons of Adam and Eve, you know, the Adamic man, and the cause of the great flood, you know, that asteroid impact, all these things the good Lord has led me to discover and share with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord to reinforce their belief in our God and his righteousness. Anyway, I probably digress there, but I want to look at Damascus as a target. We know that what we're seeing right now is the beginning of what Psalm 83 says, the war against Israel, the little war, before the Armageddon thing or the Gog and Magog type invasion of Israel. I'm just going to see if I can... share this here.
All right.
I'm trying to. Technology has got me in its grip at the moment. I'm trying to get a picture up here that I'm going to share. Let's see. Let's make this fit screen. Okay.
Eric the Tech will be back to. We'll be back tomorrow. So, folks.
Oh, good. Good. Good.
So, thank you, Stan, for kind of taking the weight off here.
Okay, can you see that page I've got up there?
We can indeed, yes.
Okay, this is from Holly's book, Prophetic Perils, and page 419. Middle East War Practice. Okay, this is about Psalm 83 war, and I'll leave you to read that later. It's up on the screen there. We'll hold it for a second, and then you can look at it later. But it shows the land that will belong to Israel after they defeat the Arab nations that are coming against them in the Psalm 83 war. If you can look at this, you can see all this shaded area here. This is going to go back to the original land grant to Abraham, to the Euphrates River. And so they're going to gain Jordan and a chunk of Egypt and Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Iraq, and Lebanon. After this Psalm 83 crisis, Israel's land is going to be increased to this size. And now we can go over to... the next page here, what is that? That's 417. That's the previous page, but we'll do that. This tells you here, the great Middle Eastern war players, Psalm 83, verses 1 through 8. This is in Holly's book, again, on page 417. It shows Palestinian refugees and southern Jordanians are going to be mounted against Israel, the Saudi Arabians, central Jordanians, Egyptians, Hezbollah, northern Lebanese people. Syrians, northern Iraqis, Arabs of the Sinai Peninsula, including Bahrain, UAE, Oman, Yemen, Kuwait, and Qatar. All these are in the Arab Confederacy mounted against Israel. Okay, now seeing all this, that's where I stop share, so I can wave my hands again. Seeing all this, this is the background. We see this going to happen. This is Psalm 83 war. Many people, Bible scholars, have been on the television saying, yeah, this is it. If this is the case, this is when Damascus will probably be destroyed. Now, you're Israel now. Let's pretend we're Israel. We're the leaders of Israel, and we're figuring out how are we going to, hurt the Iranian proxies and Iran itself without totally causing World War III. One of the things that they are going to do here, I'm just going to put this map up here of Damascus and the surrounding area.
Okay.
Come on, let me have it. Come on. There it is. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to make this a little bit bigger. I don't know how much you can see when it comes up. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. It says I'm screen sharing. That's good. All right, fine. These technology announcements here. Okay. Now, the unfortunately, when I snapped this thing here, that showed that. Let me just see. That does that. And there we go. Got rid of it. Okay. What I want to show you here, this is Israel down here. There's the Gaza Strip, that little tiny piece of troublemaker. Here's the West Bank. How much land? Oh, come on. Fighting for control here. Okay, this shows how much land that Israel has given to the Gazans in land for swap, you know, land for peace type thing.
Right.
Boy. Yeah. Sorry, that's our business phone. Sometimes we don't catch it in time upstairs. I'm just going to show you now where Damascus is in relation to Jerusalem. Here you see it's not far away, really. And here is one of the larger failed volcanoes. It has about 118 smaller little eruptions in it. Here it's a ruinous heap already, but there are several of these scattered around this part of Syria. And Damascus here is up against a couple of mountain ridges. Now, I want to just go and get a close-up of this black spot. Okay. That's the black spot we're looking at. And you see how there, all around it there are areas where things have erupted, but not into full volcanic status. These did happen centuries ago, millennia ago. Jordan and... let's see, Jordan and Syria, parts of Syria, they were all covered by 13 huge volcanic eruptions that laid lava all across the land of Bashan. Remember, Bashan was the land of the giants that survived the flood. So they've been covered over entirely by lava flows in this area. Okay, and that's the thing there again. Okay. I'm just going to bring up another graphic now. We're still pretending to be the leaders of Israel trying to figure out what to do here. Let's take this picture in here. Now, I've used
Google. By the way, that, excuse me, that was from the pages were from Prophetic Perils. Is that correct?
That's correct. Holly's okay. Book, Prophetic Perils.
Very good. And folks, go to standale.com and follow the links. And I'm telling you, I've got a copy, and it's pretty intense. So she did a great job with that. Go ahead,
sir. She did. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But its time is now. So, okay. Yeah. Now, what I've done here with Google Earth is I've drawn this yellow line around here showing the edge of the bowl depression. Where Damascus is here at the high point next to these mountain ridges. And if you look at the cross-sectional area of all this yellow line, this part right here is at where the red arrow is at Damascus, and it goes downhill, you know, probably 300 feet to form this depression out here, which could erupt. I mean, we could have a thing that destroys that, but again, it doesn't look likely. I'll just bring this in here. You can see here where Damascus is here and here. It's spread out a bit. And right back over in here somewhere, what I'll show you in a minute, is one of their weapon storage bases that they've given to Iran. And they've given Iran a number of dedicated properties.
Dedicated properties.
Wow, I'm getting a feedback
here. Wow, I'm getting a feedback here.
Don't know why. Anyway,
you're good on my end. Anyway. Okay. So you're good on my end.
Okay. Now here is what an Israeli 750 kiloton Jericho 3 ICBM could do damage if it were to launch and hit right in the middle of Damascus. The area in here, these two areas, and this one here would be pretty bad. You know, they would hurt the inhabitants of the building a great deal. Out here is, you know, radiation damage and things like that. But to destroy what is in Damascus as, you know, weapon storage, land given to Iran by Syria, these red dots show what land has officially been given to Iran to occupy for military bases, for weapons storage. And so what do we see here? We see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 areas where there are potential missiles. Now, if you're thinking, you know, like Netanyahu and his defense people, you know that the sign that says, let's say this one up here, it's a Jabal al-Sharqi, that's a weapons storage thing. So, you know, would the Iranians store their best missiles in a thing there and call it a weapons storage site? No, they're probably going to hide it. And like the Gaza, you know, like the Hamas in Gaza, they've hidden their weapons and soldiers in the terrorist movement there amongst the population of Gaza. So it is probably going to, you know, they're going to destroy Damascus, the Israelis, if they bomb it, because it will be in the civilian populations here, hidden, not in in plain sight, but not really officially recognized as Iranian storage dumps. People would think, well, you'd hit all these. You can hit these a bit with a 750 kiloton device, and you can certainly make travel in the area pretty problematic. But if you bomb right here in the center, you're going to get these three here, that one there, and that one there, and possibly the ones hidden in Damascus. So I know that Netanyahu's intelligence organization for a decade at least have had spies in here monitoring the development of nuclear weapons by Damascus, or in Damascus by the Iranians. And so they know where, you know, the things are, where the storage of the weapons really are. Now, if they're here in the middle of this population, it's sad to say, but they're going to take out the civilians as well as the missile sites. So this is what I suspect will happen. We're going to see a Jericho 3 ICBM be launched and destroy Damascus, and it will become a ruinous heap that no one will want to occupy. It'll be radioactive to start with, but there won't be many things left standing there. And you can see here that, well, in fact, yeah, this is a mountain range here, and there's the Jabal al-Sarki weapon storage that they admit to. And we've got another one down here somewhere. Yeah, weapons storage and headquarters at here. Now, I'm going to try to bring up Google Earth so that we can. How much time do we have? Are we still okay? Or?
We've got about 12 minutes.
Okay, good. We're going to bring up the Google Earth so you can see this strategically, what's happening here in real time, sort of. Let's go down here. Okay, where is it? Here it is. Okay. Let's take us to that one. And where's our share screen? Here we go. Okay. Now you're on board with me here. Now, that red dot I showed you up above Damascus is Jabal al-Sharqi weapon storage. It's right there. But what I want to do is to put this in 3D mode. And so we can look at the mountains and the valleys here to get an appreciation of what we're looking at. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Can you see that now? As I move it, you can see that this is mountain ranges behind Damascus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So here's Damascus, and there's the weapon storage. Well, if we go in a little bit, you can see that they've put it out here, which would logically be away from Damascus, but still close to civilian population should something happen, an accident or whatever, and it blow up. The prevailing winds would then take the radioactive debris out this way, away from Damascus itself.
Right.
Okay, let me just get this down just a bit further here. Now, when you look at little Damascus here, understand that this area has had some other bad things happen to it as well. The 200 or more fallen angels that came down to Earth went to Mount Hermon, which was probably that one right there. Let me just see if I, is that Hermon? Well, these are Arabic names here. But anyway, this is where the fallen ones came. And Jesus ascended back into heaven after he rose from the dead. He ascended from Mount Hermon to go back up to God, to heaven, to the parallel universe, which is heaven. And it was almost like an in-your-face type move against the fallen ones, because they came down here. They can't go back. They're barred from going back to the heavens. But he then went to where they fell there and went up, kind of, as I say, in-your-face type. I can do this, you can't, because I'm the king, and he is. Anyway, that's the area that is going to see a lot of activity very shortly. I'm just going to take some of the roads and stuff out of the way. And now, that up there is Syria, and they're coming down here to an area. Let me put the borders back in. They're coming down here into northern Israel. This is Lebanon up here. This is northern Israel here. And the Golan Heights is here. And, you know, depending on who you listen to, Israel has it and Syria doesn't, but Syria says that they own it. So they can come right down here by land, right to there, and launch missiles into northern Israel, which can hit, you know, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Haifa, all of those areas in quick time, so fast that, you know, I don't think Iron Dome would be able to get them all. So that's the lay of the land. That's why I think that Israel is going to bomb Damascus into dust. Right.
Wow.
Clear that. Okay. Did I stop sharing now? Are we back here together?
Yeah, we're back. I believe we're back. We're back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're back. Anyway, that's the situation with the war in the Middle East. The sun is another factor that we have to consider, because there are various things happening with the sun as far as thinning of the solar outer atmosphere and allowing magnetic filaments to burst out 200,000 to 300,000 miles, in some cases several million miles into space, telling us that it's very unstable and very likely going to release a Carrington event type CME solar magnetic storm against Earth that will virtually destroy the surface of the Earth that is facing it. That's going to be the increase of light spoken of in the Bible, seven times brighter than normal, and it will burn trees, green trees, grass, boil the seas on that side of the Earth facing the sun at that moment. And I think that's going to take care of the United States, and the northern part of South America will be burnt in that eruption from the sun. However, I could be wrong. That could be later in the tribulation period, but certainly we're going to see coronal mass ejections and flares and increased solar wind, which will hit our grid system and take out our power, whether the sun does it or whether an invading army from Russia, China, and the Middle East does it. And if they're invading us, that means we're still here. So, again, I stress, you know, it's time to get EMP protection for your electronics and fire extinguishers and extra water and food. Prepare. It is coming. And the sun is a major player in that here. I'm just going to get in here and see what space weather says today. They're still on solar eclipses and that kind of stuff. All right. I'm going to share this with you here. Just yell at me if I'm getting close to running out of time.
Okay.
All right. Where's the thing that moves that here? Okay. And let's open that screen up and let's go to here. I think that's the one. Is that right? Yeah. We're going to see the activity of the sun over the last 36 to 48 hours here. It's going to come up on the screen. Now we're going to play it. Now this is just right now, watching what's happening on the sun. This has got to be impressive. Okay.
Awesome.
Now, let's go back and take 1 week worth here. That's going to be nearly 1,000 images that we're going to make a movie out of here. And we're at 500 images now, and give it about 5 seconds more. 3, 2, 1. There we go. Now, this is the last week. Look at this. Look at this. I mean,
my word.
Just huge eruptions from the sun. It is very unstable. Wow. happened there. That was 3 days ago, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, 6 days ago, I guess. See, on the 11th, yeah, 6 days ago.
Wow.
Down here in the lower hand corner, you can see the date.
Right.
This is the 12th. And it's just boiling off stuff, you know, and it's twice as active as NOAA, NASA, and everybody predicted it would be. Twice as active. Okay. Well, that's
my
enough
goodness.
Of that. It is a my goodness moment. It really is. And if we look at the, let's see, is that where we want to go? No, we want to go to, where is that interactive? There it is. Let's look at the map for the 16th. And this shows the green lines are one solar pole, probably the new North Pole, and the new South Pole, the purple ones here. Let me just see if we can get the 17th. Okay, we can. And we'll put all these magnetic field lines out there. Now I can move this around. This red, this green dot here is you know, now yellow. It's what the Earth sees facing it. And so if I move this around, you can see how disjointed the north and magnetic and south magnetic poles are on the sun. They're all over the place.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
They do this every 11.25 years when they switch places. But what people probably aren't aware of in general is that the north pole up here
may change
before the south pole.
The south pole.
And by as much as 2 years. And so at some point in time, you'll have two north poles. One here, one here, or two new south and old south. And in between there will be turbulence, which creates
these
white spots here, these sunspot regions, these active regions. Anyway, you can see where the North Pole is supposed to be and the South Pole is supposed to be. And it's starting to get some of the purple ones in here. And at the North Pole, you know, you're starting to see, let me just grab this here. Oh, this phone. Okay, fine. They got it. Thank you. Okay, you can see that the North Pole is not establishing as quick as the South Pole. We have this turbulence inside the sun while the sun is experiencing thinning of the, you know, of the layer, the outer layer of the sun. Now, I'm just going to sit here and push this one, which is showing where the planets are today and where we are. Now, Earth is here. There's the sun. And we have these gas giants gathered around here. Their mass and their charge is pulling on the sun. So this side of the sun, the surface is actually thicker than it is over on this side where it thins out. In a few months, Earth will be over on this side facing a thinning of the solar surface. So around March, April next year, we may see a lot of stuff erupting toward the Earth, which will be around here at that time. Anyway, that's probably enough. I just wanted to add that to our discussion today. Sorry.
My goodness. I'll tell you what, that's fascinating. Folks, if you're listening to this on just by audio, go to HagmanPI.com, click on the episode title, and watch the video. Fascinating stuff. Very, very well worth it. And I love that 3D map of the area around Damascus. I thought that was fabulous too. But
yeah, I spend a lot of time there. I know what you're saying. It's just really good to see it in 3D.
Yeah, yeah. So do you believe? We've got about a minute left. I mean, do you see this breaking out into a full scale regional world?
Yeah.
Okay.
Regional, yes. I see Israel using a nuke device, which will frighten the heck out of all of the surrounding Arab nations and the rest of the major nations of the world, because they don't want to go to World War III. They don't want nuclear bombs dropping on these big countries. So this regional conflict is going to escalate, and it is going to force those people who are against Israel to make a treaty out of fear, because they will fear the fact that Israel has 300 to 900 missiles, nuclear missiles. They could wipe them out. I mean, yeah. Israel can reach most of the nations on the world for what they've got in their storehouse there in Israel.
And there we have it. Stan, we've reached the end of the program. I want to thank you so very much for sharing all that information. That was a lot of information. Thank you. Appreciate you. And folks, make sure you support Stan Dale. Go to standale.com. That's standale.com. Support him. Become a Patreon member, as well as all of his intellectual material is there. Bookmark standale.com. The link will be in the program description box. Stan, I want to say again, thank you so much for all.
Thank you, Doug, for your service, too. We're both working together.
All right. God bless, folks.
God bless you now.